I'm so excited about this message. A lot about what AJ and Cleve were talking about up here earlier was a lot about what I'm going to be ministering. The one word that stuck out in my mind yesterday, well, I'll tell you, the first thing that came to mind when I was waking up was the hokey pokey. You put your right hand in, you pull the right hand out. You put your left hand in, and I don't know why, but you shake it, you know. And then eventually get to the turn yourself around, right? The one word that stuck out in my mind yesterday while I was studying was turnaround. How many of you are needing a turnaround right now? Physically, financially, in your job? You need something to happen that will cause a dramatic change in your life. Not just, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm so thankful that God blesses me, and then you walk around looking like you're broke all the time, and you're always sick, you don't know why, but you can't get ahead, and everything always hurts, whether it's arthritis, sickness, diseases, cancers. I've been spending a lot of time lately studying about prayer, and I'm going to talk about that today. Title of this message, if you're taking notes, there's like five words, and you can put them in any order you want to, and I'll put them in this order. Intercessory prayer, perception, location, faith, and turnaround. Intercessory prayer, perception, location, faith, and turnaround. I'm going to read three stories to you today in the book of Mark. Turn to the right in the book of Mark, chapter 7. We're going to be in chapter 7 and chapter 8. I'm going to show you three different stories about three different intercessors and three different people that get healed. And I'm going to talk to you about their location and their faith and the turnaround. I'm not talking about a 360 turnaround, because a 360, if you know anything about basketball, you know, and they go up and they're dribbling down, that Michael Jordan make a move, goes up, and when he leaves the ground, he spins and turns all the way around and dunks the ball. I'm talking about a 180. When you leave the floor, you're not headed this direction anymore. You're headed this direction. Because this direction was the way things used to be, and this is the direction how things ought to be. This is the way we should be going. I'm not talking about a 360 where you turn around and by the time you get back to the start, everything's changed. I'm talking about a totally different direction in your life. Matthew chapter 7, we read the story about a woman who has a daughter possessed by devils. Now, if you've never experienced that or seen that kind of stuff, it's not supposed to be something where you see it and you're like, oh, whew, oh my God, you know, and be afraid. You should be the one that says, oh, I can fix that. When you see people possessed, I see it. My Lord, I see it. Now, they may not be possessed by devils, but you can definitely tell there are some that are influenced by devils. I see it in the transition of their face and in their mental capacity to function. I see it every day. I'm around hundreds and hundreds of people and kids, and I see it all the time. I see how they, I hear it out of their mouths. I hear how they've had a troubled past or this or that. My friends, we've all had a troubled past. And let me tell you something. I'm not trying to discredit where you came from, because that song he was singing about where I've been, where you have been matters, but it also doesn't matter. And it shouldn't. Where you've been should change who you are, but where you've been shouldn't matter anymore. And if you can't let go of where you've been, you'll always be there. You need to get a hold of that. Because if you can't let go of where you've been, you're always going to be there. You've got to learn how to sever ties. Sever. Something's all, Cleve was absolutely right when he said the devil wants you to think that you're by yourself. You are alone. And the Holy Spirit that ministers to our spirit, because there's a spirit living on the inside of this body. This body you look at when you look in the mirror, that's not who you are. It's the one that's on the inside of you. That's who you are. Because the one that's on the inside of you is talking to the one who was placed on the inside of you when Jesus left the earth. And the Holy Spirit is always talking to your spirit. And I'm here to tell you that devil is doing everything to become a lion on your back. And he's always trying to... You ever notice, you know, how God's an amazing designer? He created those cats. You know, anybody have pet cats? You tickle their belly and they go... And you're like... You can't move your hand away from the belly because their claws turn back. Those claws are for grabbing and never letting go. Just like a shark. A shark's teeth aren't pointed out. A shark's teeth are pointed back. So when he gets a hold of something, it tries to come back. It can't. You fishermen, when they make fish hooks, they don't make a hook. They make a hook with a burr on it, don't they? Why do they make a hook with a burr on it? So when the fish gets on there, the fish can't get off. The devil wants you to think you'll never, ever get there. You're never going to get ahead. And he's always talking to you. And the Holy Spirit is always like, tell him to shut up. Tell him with your mouth to shut his mouth. And eventually that little lion turns into a little kitty cat. Turns into a kitten, and eventually you're able to just slap him off and sever ties. The devil always wants you to think that you'll never leave who you were. And we all have a were, don't we? We all have one of those, well, I was this, or I used to be this, or, you know, way back in that time, I was this. We all used to be in that location. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. This is Jesus traveling, he said, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. In other words, he was trying to get somewhere. He was like tired, trying to get away from everybody. And he was like, man, I got to find some place to be. Let's try the Holiday Inn. Maybe they won't know I'm there. But just like a rock star, they always find out where they are in the hotel, right? They always find out where they are. And then everybody always shows up looking for an autograph. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bed and cast it unto the dogs. You're probably thinking, well, that was pretty rude of him to say. But Jesus always talked in parables. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Hallelujah. Intercessory prayer. Let me tell you something, guys. I've been praying about prayer for a while now. One of the most important things you can do for your life is finding alone time with God. It is different than being in public places trying to hear from God. It's not the same. I'm not saying you can't, but it's different than when you're in the alone place. This woman found Jesus when he was tired and didn't want to be around anybody. He was trying to find a secret place, trying to get away from everybody. She found him in the secret place. Not in the public place, but in the secret place. That mom was the intercessor for her daughter. Intercessors, people that love to pray. All of us should be praying, but there are intercessors that love to pray. Like it's like a kid in a candy store. They are always looking for somebody to pray for. The perception here is that we have to realize, get a hold of this, that in order to get the loaf, you may have to eat the crumbs first. People are always praying for something big, but rarely are willing to do the little things to obtain the big thing. Example, tithing. Example, praying. God wants to meet you in a secret place, in a place where he can absolutely talk to you and minister to you. And my friends, you'll never get to know anybody until you have private time with them, ever. These people that you call your friends, you usually have private time with them. You go out to eat dinner, or you go to their house, they come to your house, you spend time talking to them, getting to know them. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants from us. The perception is, we have to realize that sometimes God will ask you to do some little things in order to obtain the big things. When David was standing there and all these people were complaining about Goliath, and he said, "Who is this guy that mocks our God?" And they began to explain to little old David, who just got through delivering, you know, he was the pizza delivery guy. His father sent him to the people on the battlefield and said, "Here, take some cheese. Yeah, that'll help him. Give him some cheese." He delivers cheese and all these other things just to kind of keep him going, you know, delivering a meal to his brothers. And he walks out on the battlefield and he's like, "Who is this goofball out on the hill talking about? Why are we all in tents around here? And this guy's out here making fun of our God." And God heard him. I'm telling you, if you think God wasn't standing up, if God was sitting down, he was probably like, "What in the world did he just say?" Little old David. So he said, "David," you know, he built up this boldness. David was a fighter anyway. He was just, man, he was the type that was not afraid of blood, guts, you know. He could kill a deer and skin it before it hit the ground. David heard of all of the rewards that came from killing this man. He said, "I can do that. I've killed bears and lions. Who is he? Who is this guy?" And God's up there thinking, "You know what? If you want to be king, go out there and sling a rock at that guy. I mean, how hard is it? Go get a few pebbles, you know, sling a rock at the guy. You know, the angel guides the rock, hits him right between the head, and the dude falls down." God said, "Okay, you want to be king? Head out to the battlefield." I can just see it now. Everybody's sitting up there in the bleachers, you know. Like, "Oh, boy, this is going to be interesting. Little old David. Let's see how, I got $20 on David. I got $20 on Goliath. He's not going to last 3 seconds. This will be, it'd be like a betting match on an MMA fight. I bet he goes down in less than a minute. I'm betting he'll turn and run as soon as Goliath takes his first step." There are going to be things that God's going to ask you to do. Sometimes he'll bring the blessing just like that. He'll bring it to you. He'll say, like, "Okay, you want this? I can get it to you." Then there's going to be times where like I preached a couple of weeks ago, he's going to ask you to take step number one before step number two ever happens. And step number one is the most important step. Now watch the location. It says that she found him in a place where he was hidden. She had found out he was there. Her passion for success. How many of you know that it takes passion to get to the top? If you're not passionate about doing this or getting these blessings, I mean, you have to think every time some of the most interesting facts to me, and some of the most interesting things about football to me for NFL players, is watching the interviews before the game. That is where you will learn how to get to the top. You don't learn how to get to the top by watching them play at the top. You get to the top by learning out of their mouth how they got there. They'll say, you know, well, one of them, you know, one of the players in the Super Bowl, Matthew, the one of the safeties for the Kansas City Chiefs, if you know his history, you can listen to his history, and they interviewed him before the game. He got kicked out of school a few times, I believe. I think he even failed a drug test. And he'll be the first to tell you, he's like, man, once I realized that I needed to turn my life around, once he did the hokey pokey and figured out he needed to turn his life around and got revelation that he needed to turn his life around, that is when he got to the top. He didn't get to the top all of a sudden. He got to the top because he had a revelation. I love to hear those interviews. Those people will tell you how they came from dirt, poor, nothing. Some, not all of them do, but some of them came from nothing, and they knew the only way to get to the top was passion. I've got to be totally sold out for this dream that I have. If I'm not sold out and I go all in, then I'm just going to be another statistic, somebody that tried to make it to the pros and didn't and just quit and went to work somewhere. It is passion. It is the passion to serve Christ that takes you to the top. It is your passion. Not just getting saved and being a Christian and going to church and doing your thing and telling everybody you go to church and just showing up once a week. This stuff is an everyday deal, 24/7. And you got to be passionate about it. You've got to fight for this. I'm telling you, you're seeing it more and more these days. Christians are having to fight to keep their head above water, because the enemy is like a lion walking around seeking he may devour, and he's starting a lot of times at the top, because he knows if he can start at the top and destroy their lives, and he'll lead those people to thinking, oh, this will be great, this will be wonderful. Well, you know, at our federal government level, he'll convince people, he'll lie to people, and those people will be deceived into thinking that this is the way our country should go, and they live in a fantasy. And in the end, they end up destroying our lives because the devil confused them into thinking that this is the way our country should go. Oh, no, we need to do this. We need to do this. The truth is the only thing that's going to keep this country free. The truth. And that involves the media. Her passion for success led her, and I'm telling, she might have had to fight to get, I mean, they probably had guards at all the doors to make sure, you know, nobody snuck. I don't know. She found Jesus in the secret place. She was absolutely desperate for her daughter, praying that the devil would come out of her. She didn't know how to do it, but she found the person that could. And I tell kids that all the time at school. I said, don't ever take your problems to somebody who can't fix it. Take your problems to people who can help you fix the problem. Don't advertise your problem. The faith of this woman, she was willing to eat the crumbs to get the loaf. This is a great parable. I'm sure she was one of those ladies that was always one up. She's probably one of them smart alecks, you know. Like Jesus says something, you know, well, why should I throw the bread to the dogs? And she's like, but let me tell you something, Jesus, even the dog will eat the crumbs. And Jesus, did you see what Jesus said? He said, because of the saying, your daughter is set free. He said, you know what, he probably just leaned back in his chair and just laughed. That is absolutely right. You're right. Because Jesus didn't bring the gospel to her people. She was an outcast. She was not a Jew. She was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. He's like, I didn't bring the word to you. The bread ain't for you yet. When I die and leave this earth, the bread will be for you, but it ain't for you yet. But even the dogs will eat the crumbs, sir. Because of that saying. He said, because of the saying. You ever had a conversation like that with God in the prayer place? Yeah, but Lord, you know, and a lot of times we're not right. A lot of times we'll be like, yeah, but, and you know, God's laughing and he's like, no, that ain't how it's going to work. That ain't, if you go that direction, you're going to fail. You'll be back in here a week later crying because you went that direction. He said, because of your saying, And you know what the saying was? Faith. She demonstrated her faith. And what always pleased Jesus? What did Jesus always say? He said, oh, if I could just find the faith of this centurion. Oh, if I could just find. Oh, I just, you know, where's your faith? Is this all the faith you got? Where's your faith? Oh, you wicked generation, where's your faith? But because of the saying that was full of faith, she said, I'm willing to eat the crumbs to get the whole loaf. I'll do whatever. Her faith for the little crumbs set her daughter free because she was interceding for her daughter. Her daughter wasn't going to go there. Her daughter was probably laid out foaming at the mouth, probably possessed, and just couldn't. She wasn't going to make it. So Mama Bear, goes and intercedes for her. And then what was the turnaround? Devil gone, girl sleeping. How many of you need a turnaround? Devil's gone, girl sleeping. Debt gone, bank accounts full of money. Verse 31. Now watch this. And again, departing from the coast, so here's Jesus, he's on an evangelistic ministry movement, getting on TWA, flat 747, headed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they bring unto him one that was deaf. What does that sound like? Intercessors. You know what's the thing about intercessors? Is they're always like, you know what, I'm not sick. Let's go find somebody that's sick. Let's go find somebody. Let's go find somebody that's not well, and let's take them to Jesus. And again, they bring unto him one that was deaf. They were believing with this guy. Hey, guys, we gotta help old Bill get set free. He's having a hard time. He can't work. He's you know, having to, you know, do sign language. You know, it'd be nice if he could hear us down at the factory so that when we talk to him, he'd know what to do. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and has an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. What do intercessors normally do? They take the name of the person that needs prayer prayed for, and they say, Lord, we just ask that you remember Bill, Bob, John, Billy, we ask that you lay your hands upon him and heal him. That's intercessory prayer. In verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is to be opened. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plainly. Intercessory prayer. Looking for people that need to be healed. Let's take Bill to Jesus and see if he can lay hands on him. Perception. We have to realize that God can be unorthodox. Let me tell you something. Jesus was unorthodox as all get out, man. He'd tell a blind man to walk 3 miles to the water to get healed. Hey, walk 3 miles to go down to the pool of Bethesda. When you dip your head in the water, you know, get some water out of that pool. He could have easily just said, hey, here's some water in my Yeti cooler. Here, rub this on your face, but you'll be good. You have to realize that God can be unorthodox sometimes. He might allow you to eat the crumbs to get the loaf for a little while. He might ask you to do things that you're not comfortable with. And I'm here to tell you, when you do the things that are not uncomfortable, eventually they're not so uncomfortable anymore. Like tithing. Like prayer. Well, I don't know what to say when I go in there. Don't go in there and say anything. Just go in there and keep your mouth shut and just listen. You don't have to say anything. And eventually, the more you go in there, the more you'll start learning what to say. And then God will start talking to you. And then you'll be quiet and listen. And then you'll talk some more. And then you'll be quiet and listen for a while. And don't get upset if God spits on you and puts his dirty hands on your tongue that weren't sanitized with hand sanitizer. Can you imagine them bringing him to him? And unorthodox as Jesus was, he spit on him. Hey, stand right there. Hold on. Wait a minute. Stay right there. All of a sudden, he can hear. Spits on him. Grabs his tongue. Stick your tongue out, like a doctor. Stick your tongue out. Wait, you ain't got latex gloves on. Wait, hold on. Stick your tongue out. Grabs his tongue. All of a sudden, he can start to talk. If there's one person on this planet that's unorthodox in their way of blessing you, it's the Holy Ghost. He is going to ask you to do things you ain't comfortable with. Sometimes there are things that you're very comfortable with. You're like, heck yeah, I can do that. Then there's going to be things where he's going to ask you to change just a little. Try to maybe turn the heat up just a little bit on the stove. See if you can get your water to boil. They talk about the 1 degree. Have you ever heard of the 1 degree of difference? You ever heard of that? Where does water boil at? Is it 212? 212. Somebody wrote a book one time called The 1 degree. And we talk a lot about it in football practice at school and basketball, and we're always talking about, you know, all we need you to do is just a little bit more. Let me tell you something. If water boils at 212, what does it do at 211? Nothing. It's still just water in the pot. But if God can get you to turn it up, remember the 1 degree? Remember Josh at Rebath talking about that 1 degree? If he can get you to turn it up 1 degree, that's when that water's going to start boiling. See, the water can be in the pot, but the water doesn't boil until you turn it up. And if you're not willing to turn it up a little bit in your Jesus walk, you're always just going to be water in a pot. You're going to be absolutely useless. Water is cleansed when it is boiled. At 210, 211, it ain't cleaning nothing. It's water in a pot. You don't cook with cold water. You cook with hot water. If you can turn it up 1 degree, 1 degree, you can change your walk with God instantly. 1 degree. You want to be prosperous? You're like, well, these, you know, preachers always talking about that prosperity. I ain't never seen any of it happen to me. It's because you probably ain't doing it right. I can't make you rich, but I know somebody that can. And the Bible says, this manual that he gave us, if you want to learn how to do anything, you want to learn how to install a bridge, learn how to build a skyscraper, there's always a manual, isn't there? There's always a manual that tells you what to do. This is your manual. This is the instructions. Yeah, it's a big book. Yeah, it takes you probably a year to read it. If you're not good at reading, it'll take you a year. If you're one of them fast readers, you can read it in a month. I'm one of those year people. I'm working on that month, people. I want to be able to read this thing through in a month. I want that. Think about the location. It says he took him aside from the multitude. This is a bunch of intercessory Jesus freaks saying, hey, let's follow Jesus. Oh, all right, here's a blind man or a deaf man. He can't hear anything. What does Jesus do? He says, come over here. You know why? Because location matters. He took him aside from the multitude, and sometimes the blessing is not where you think it is. It is not always where you think it is. A lot of people think, well, my blessing's at my job. Well, that's where they write you a check, and your blessing, your supernatural increase might come through there. I'm not saying it won't, but God might be calling you to go somewhere else. And let me tell you something about Jesus' blessings. When God wants to bless you, the location matters. You're not called everywhere, you're called to be somewhere. You are not going to change. I have come to the conclusion I cannot change everybody. I am not Jesus Jr. I cannot change everybody. I can tell them what I think and hope they get it. And it's really up to them whether they get it or not. And if they get it and they change, fantastic. That's another, what do they call it? A notch in the belt. But if they don't, you can bet I'm not at home losing sleep over the fact that they didn't get it. Because your walk with God is not my walk, it's your walk. God may pull you away to the prayer place to reveal the blessing. It says he pulled them away, away from the multitude. He said he went over here, pulled them away. If you'll notice anything about location and how important location is, you'll notice that a lot of you guys may not even know we have an intercessory team. You guys that are new here, you may not even know we have an intercessory. Our intercessory team does not meet out on the road. They don't meet in the parking lot. They don't meet in the foyer. They don't meet up here. They meet in a place. And I'm glad to tell you that they have outgrown one place and moved to another. Place matters to God. When God told Elijah to go to the brook, what was that? That's a location. He said, you go there and I will feed you there. Not in Pakistan, not in Alabama, not Texas. He said, go to the brook. And he fed him in an unorthodox way. One of the nastiest, dirtiest birds bringing him food. Nasty bird. Them ones at Walmart that eat the French fries? Yeah, those kind. Those kind of birds. Nasty birds. He fed him unorthodox, and he put him in a place that he didn't think he needed. What am I doing here? What's happening here? He had an assignment. He was going to be fed there. His prosperity was there, and he changed somebody's life because he went there. He changed the widow's life because he went there. Location matters. That's why I've been praying about just a place. A prayer spot for me and God. It's the prayer room. Nothing else happens there. We don't meet there. We don't eat dinner there. We don't lounge and sleep there. It's a prayer spot for me and God. If you don't have that yet, make do with what you got. Just show up somewhere every day. Amen. Just show up right there, and eventually that prayer room will come, or that, you know, swimming pool you've been believing for like we have, or that, or that new home you've been believing for, or whatever it is you're believing for. Go there. God will reveal things to you there that he won't reveal to you anywhere else. It's hard to talk to you when there is distractions. That's why Jesus went to the prayer place. He'd always leave and go up a mountain somewhere where there was nobody else. He went to a place, and a lot of times it was a different place, but it was always a place that was over there. Always. Now, there was a time when he sat down with his 12 disciples in the Last Supper, and they prayed, and that was the spot. That was where they were supposed to be. Location matters. And the intercessors and the man needing healing were willing to let Jesus put his fingers in his ears. Their faith said, here's a man who's deaf, he can't talk, do whatever you need to do. They turned him loose and said, by faith, we believe that you can fix him. They turned him loose and said, here, fix him. What was the turnaround? Verse 37. And we're beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Yes. That would make a great emoji, right? Or what do they call them? Gifts? I don't know. Yes. Chapter 8, as I'm getting ready to close. Verse 22. And now he's on a 747 headed to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man. Who are they? The intercessors. They're bringing him. Hey, looky here. Guys, we're all doing well. Let's go get Bill. You know, he had a hard time in his job here. We need Bill to get set free here. Kind of hard to walk when you're blind. And they come to the city, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to do what? To touch him. What are the intercessors doing? Lifting up Bill's name or Bob's name. It was some man we don't know. Lifting up somebody, saying, hey, God, could you please touch him? It says in verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand, and what did he do? He led him out of town. Why? Because location matters. He led him out of town. He didn't say, all right, you're healed right now. No, it says it led him out of town, and when he had unorthodoxly spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking around. So I can just see him like, wow, that's blurry. They look like an oak tree or a pecan tree. I don't know what that is. Verse 25, and after he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him to look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. So we know intercessory. We have intercessory prayer. Again, the location. Jesus leading the man away from his current location where the people were that believed in Jesus. He said, wait. This is not the place. Let's go over here. Let's move to this spot right here. Let's move out of town here. The blessing this time was out of town. Perception is, we need to realize that you sometimes need to look twice. This man opened his eyes. Jesus opened his eyes, and he opened his eyes, and he said, they look like trees. Now, my question to you would be, the information I got from this is, this man used to be able to see. How did he know what trees look like? He used to be able to see, and now doesn't see anymore. Jesus touched him a second time and said, look again. Now what do you see? And he opened his eyes, and the Amplified, if you read this Amplified Bible, doesn't say it, but my other Amplified, there's two, I learned this from Betsy, but there's two different Amplified versions. The one I was reading yesterday said that he could see clearly, and he could also see clearly afar off. I got revelation on that immediately. Sometimes your blessing, or I shouldn't say sometimes, your blessings of today and tomorrow will never look like what they looked like yesterday. Never. Prosperity is something that you're hoping for. What you're hoping for, you do not see yet. If you already possess it, you don't need to believe for it anymore. Those are yesterday's blessings. He said they look like trees. And he touched him again, and he said, now look again. And then he could see clearly. The revelation I got from that was, your blessings for tomorrow and today will never look like yesterday's trees. They're not going to look like yesterday's blessings. And sometimes you have to look twice, or you can be deceived into thinking that this is the blessing. Because if you think the devil's not telling you stuff like, hey, this is it, you're blessed now, boy, you're good to go, that devil will lie to you. And he will stop the flow of the blessing, convincing you that this is the blessing. And God's like, no, it isn't. This is just the start. This is just the beginning. Spiritually speaking, in order to get to your level of prosperity, to get to your new season in life, you've got to have spiritual clarity with your eyes. And that is found in the prayer closet. God will show you things clearly. He will say, this is the way you should go. This is the fish that has the coin in his mouth. Not this fish, but this fish. And God will allow you to see, as this man did, things that are afar off. If there's one thing you need from the Holy Ghost, it's knowing when the devil is on the horizon. There's a devil on the horizon waiting for you to take the wrong step, to take the wrong path. Let me tell you something. The straight and narrow path is a path that is very least traveled. That's why it's so narrow. Not many are willing to follow this path. Not many are willing to do Jesus 24/7. Not many are willing to commit and have the kind of passion that the woman did for her daughter. Not many people are passionate enough to stay on the path. The road to hell is broad and wide. Wide. You know why? I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Because that's where most people want to go. That's where most people want to be. It's broad and wide. And they serve all kinds of candy to keep you going. Devil, he keeps throwing little nuggets at you. Just like, hey, this is your blessing. This is it right here. This is the one. This is what you've been believing for right here. And God's up there like, no, it isn't. Just because you're doing something good doesn't mean you're doing it right. There are missionaries that go broke all the time because God didn't call them to go there. Now, does it mean they're doing something bad? No. They had the right heart. They were doing something good, but they were in the wrong location. The faith of the blind man. The blind man had to walk blindly out of town. He didn't say, sir, do you not realize that I'm blind? It's hard for me to walk that far. You know, we're about 10 blocks away to getting out of town here. That's a long ways. Are you sure? But the faith of the blind man said, yes, take my hand. I'll follow you. Wherever you want to go. Where do you want to go? Where are we going? What town are we going to? What town? Are we leaving town? How are we going to get there? And he allowed Jesus to spit on him. That's two different accounts of Jesus spitting. Now, he loved to spit, man. I tell you, he's a spitter. He's probably one of them evangelists that spit on you. I could just see him. What happened to the blind man? When one of them blind men came to him, he spit in the ground, rubbed, made some paste out of it. I mean, he loved to spit. Holy Ghost loved to just see the... Holy Ghost just loved to do silly stuff. Let's see what happens. I spit on his eyes. Let's see if he runs away or if he's going to stay here and get the blessing. Did he just spit on me? Bill? I mean, I can see him looking around like, whoa. Did he just spit on me? Dang right, I did. Stand still. Be quiet. What was the turnaround? He saw every man clearly. Spiritually speaking, if there's one thing you need to be able to do in life, it is see every man clearly. And I'm talking everything that they are and everything that's on the inside of them and everything they say out of their mouth. You better be able to see men clearly. Because there are some that are there to deceive and to distract and to confuse and to destroy you. If you can't see men clearly, if you're not a good... what they call a discerner. A lot of people say, well, I'm good at, what they used to say? I'm a pretty good judge of character. That judge of character that you have is the wisdom that God gave you. It's not because you earned it or because you came about it your own way. Judges of character is the God that's on the inside of you. When you walk into an environment and you're a pretty good judge of an environment, if you listen to Glenn Beck this week, when he went to the, if you know anything about Glenn Beck, he went to the State of the Union, and I'm here to tell you there were some vipers in that room. You can't stand up and clap regardless of what party you are for people that are getting blessed. And you're so full of hatred and bitterness that you can't clap for somebody when they succeed. You got some poison, some bad poison. And that's the kind of poison that kills people. You'll suffocate and die from your own poison. He said, when I walked into that room, he said, I could tell that that room was just, he said, I was watching, and he was just watching, he was just there to watch. He could always go listen to speech later. He was there to watch and observe. He said, I saw people on their phones snickering, snickering and giggling, just not even paying. I mean, to be in the presence of the president, and be honored to be even in that building, in that same room, it should be an honor. Not playing on Facebook. not giggling and goofing around with TikTok. Or, hey, look at what I found. You've got to be kidding me. Our country's at a turning point. It's about to turn around, I'm telling you. There's some things that are put in place right now that are causing some devils to be exposed so that we can see men clearly. And women. Well, I meant men. You know what I'm talking about. So you personally have your own testimony. Would you like to preach? Come on up here. You got something to say? You want to testify? And women. Yeah. Woo, boy. I can tell you some stories about that now. I used to be the varsity coach of an all-girls basketball team. I've been in there. I'm not saying it was bad, but there were some times where I was like, wow, Lord. It's a vicious world right now we're in. You better be able to see clearly. And I have a thing on my board at school. One of them says, be smart. And the other one says, think twice. Always, always think twice. It's never as bad as it first appears. Never. When something happens to you and you're like, oh God, how am I going to get out of this? You need to sit back down in the prayer room and say, you know what? This ain't as bad as I thought it was. Because God will tell you that. It's not as bad as you think. I can help you with this. I can help you fix this. I know you messed up. Let's start over. Repent. I was watching Perry Stone last night on TV, and he was talking about the next judgment. Every time judgment came on the earth, it was because the world was full of people that would not repent. You're seeing it right now. You're seeing a generation of people. Now, Noah was saved in the flood. They were the only repentant ones. In the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, when judgment came, it was a generation, a whole metropolis the size of New York, L.A., Houston put together that would not repent. It's coming. Judgment is coming. But the good thing is the trump is going to sound, and we're going to be called up. I don't think it's any coincidence, y'all. I just don't. No matter what party you believe, this ain't no political speech. I just don't think it's any coincidence that we're starting to see hell expose itself and the guy's last name is Trump. You know, that angel, just like Glenn Smith said one day. Glenn Smith, he's like, them angels up there, they're polishing their horn. You know, making sure it sounds good. They're polishing it. Just give me the cue, Lord. Just tell me when. Here we go. We are out of here. I know there's a lot of people believe in different, you know, raptures and all that. You know, I totally agree. If you want to believe one way, that's fine. I understand. I dang sure don't want to be here when the trumpet sounds. I want to be gone. Because after that comes judgment. Because of a world full of people that will not repent. Let me tell you the first thing you should do. They always said when you go into the prayer room, always use the Acts principle, like the book of Acts. If you don't know what to say, walk in there with the ACTS acronym. Acknowledgement, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Acknowledge God and who He is. Just go in there worshiping Him. Confess your sins and repent. Thank Him for all that He's done for you. And ask Him to provide. Just like Jesus did. Give us this day our daily bread. I'll take the crumbs if that's what it takes to get the loaf. I'll take it any day of the week. Because the crumbs from God are worth more than anything you possess on this planet. When God opens up the windows of heaven and blesses you, I'm talking the blessings that come out of His hand are nothing compared to what come out of your measly little old tithe. Even if you tithe $1 million, it's nothing compared to what He can offer you. Nothing. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're not saved today, you're new here, and maybe you didn't know you had to receive Jesus to be saved, then this is your opportunity. We never close a service without giving somebody an opportunity to receive Jesus. This is your chance. Now, if you're already saved, this won't mean as much to you. We understand that. But if you're not saved and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to pray a prayer with you, and we're going to ask you to pray this prayer and mean what you say. And if we believe that if you pray this prayer and mean what you say, we believe that if the rapture was to happen, or if you died and left this earth, we believe that you would go to heaven and stay there. There's only two destinations for you. It's either heaven or hell. You want the former and not the latter. When you leave this earth, there's going to be a destination. There's a location. I'm telling you, location matters, and heaven is not here. We can live like heaven's here, but heaven is not here. It's somewhere else. Now, it'll eventually be here, because to God, location matters. But there's also a place called hell. He designed hell for people that were unwilling to repent and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that's how you get saved. You receive Jesus. You confess with your mouth and receive Jesus as your Lord. That's how you go to heaven. And then wherever God wants to put heaven in this universe, you'll be there. You'll be there. If you're not saved today, I want you to pray this prayer with me and say it like this. Everybody repeat after me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins and arose again on the third day. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said, I'm going to ask you on the count of three to just raise your hand. You don't have to come to the front. We're not going to embarrass you or anything like that. We just want you to just let us know that you received Jesus for the very first time. If you received Jesus for the very first time by praying that prayer, I want you on the count of three to just raise your hand and let me know that that was you. And by raising your hand, you're saying, I prayed that prayer. I meant what I said. I received Jesus today. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? All right, well, look at me. Okay, good, good, good. That means if the trump would have sounded before I finished, we would have all been together. Yes, that would have been great. This house would have been empty. I'm so thankful for you guys. You visitors that came, thank you for coming. I'm sure you will find that this is the best church on the planet. We ain't afraid to talk about anything that's in that Bible. You can bet from us that you will get the whole truth, that the way we believe it. And if we're wrong, we'll correct ourselves, and we'll tell you, hey, we were wrong, we messed up, I was wrong about this, let me correct it. Let me tell you something, if you can't take correction from God, you better not go to the prayer closet, because he will correct you sometimes. I love all you guys. Thank you for being here. I'm so honored that you choose to come to Cowboy Church. Got a few quick announcements before I turn it over to Betsy, and then we'll get out of here. I'll make this quick. Our play day, we have play days coming up. If you don't know what those are, please come see us. Heidi, just hold your hand up. If you're new here and you want to participate, or if you've been going here for a long time, you don't know who Heidi is, that's Heidi. Please go see her if you'd like to help with the play days that we put on here at our rodeo arena that's behind the church here. That's April the 25th is when they start, 8 a.m. to about 3 p.m. That's about how long they last. Now, you won't be working the whole time probably. Some of you will. Some of you, get to take a break, but it's not hard work. We need helpers. We need arena help and concession help. See Heidi to volunteer the fourth Saturday of the month, okay? And also for our rodeo, if you guys don't know, our rodeo's coming up in a couple of months. It's our biggest fundraiser we do, and it's really, it's a fundraiser for us, but it's really a Liberty Hill thing. This is a Liberty Hill thing. It's not a Cowboy Church thing. We invite everybody from this from this city to come out here and participate and just watch a rodeo, because nobody else puts them on. And our city gets involved and they contribute to it. It's a big deal, man, and it's getting bigger every year. It seems like we get, every year it seems like we add a new carnival ride out there, and we just keep expanding. And it's just, once people get a hold of it, you know, they just, in this town, and this town is growing. This town, y'all, is growing. There's so many people coming from all over the place. And this is really just to have a venue for our town to get at, come out and just enjoy a sporting event. And then, yeah, people will see our church and like, hey, we don't go to church. Yeah, we like to go there. So, yeah, it's a little bit of that, but it's more than anything, it's for our city. It's to bless our city. And we bring it brings money to our city. People come in, they buy fuel from all the gas stations, and they eat at the restaurants and so on and so forth. But y'all please be praying about that. But we need to start bringing drinks for that rodeo, for our concession. Make sure you bring the real thing. Do not bring Mr. Pibb's or Walmart brands or anything like that. If they're going to pay money for a drink, they want the real thing. So we need Coke products, okay? Dr. Peppers, all those, you know, the real thing, the Sprites, all that. Waters, Gatorades, 20 ounces, the 20-ounce Gatorades, or waters, okay? There'll be a sign in our foyer right back here where you may place the drinks, and we'll get them to the right place, okay? But just bring them and just set them back there. We'll get you taken care of. You can bring as many or you know, as many as you want, however many you want to get. Also need concession workers. Our concession stand is right here past the foyer over to the left once you get outside those doors back there. It's a gigantic concession stand. It is an amazing blessing to our rodeo. If you would like to help in the concession, please see Joni. Joni's still in here? She didn't go. She's the lady that sings up here. If you've been going to church, she sings up here when we have our band. Please see her. Or go see AJ. He'll find her for you. But we need those for April the 16th through the 19th. That's the week of our rodeo. So please see them if you'd like to donate your time. And you don't have to donate the whole night. I'm sorry, are you trying to catch me on something? Sponsorships. Yes, we're going to need sponsorships. I'll get that here in just a second. So if you'd like to help in that concession, you can help for an hour or 2 hours and be done, or you can help the whole time. But there are some people that go the whole time, and we shouldn't have to do that. We need people in there. I'm out there touching cow butts and hitting them and loading them, you know, and all that stuff. That's what I'm out there doing for the whole rodeo. So I won't see half of y'all during I never see anybody. I'm like over there in the pens, never come out of them. But we need help for a variety of things. Once we get closer to the rodeo, we'll start doing sign-up sheets for a variety of things, okay? But we also need sponsorships. If you're a company or you work for a company that would like to sponsor our rodeo, please come over here. Stand up so they can see you. Come see Rick Hager, and he'll get you set up. If you think or you have, you know, at least get your name on the list so he can communicate with you. Give him your phone number, so he can remind you when we get a little bit closer to the rodeo for sponsorships. So anything you can give. I don't care if it's $100. We buy bicycles to give away during the calf scramble. I mean, we got little gifts for people, and they're as cheap as, like, I think it was $100 was our cheapest one, all the way up to company sponsorship of $5,000. So whatever you want to do, we would greatly appreciate it for our rodeo. Okay, also volunteers. We need help painting the arena. The arena needs some more paint on it before we do our rodeo, so it'll look nice, presentable. This will be about an 8-hour Saturday, and that should be it. That should be all it takes. We're planning that for the first Saturday of March, but it'll be a steady medium to hard work. Okay, we're not going to kill you, but what we also don't want is people showing up, because I know we as Christians, we want to congregate and talk to each other. We love to hang around and talk, and then we never get any work done. And that's not what we're supposed to do. So when you show up, if you'd like to help, please be ready to get to work. It's going to be easy to want to go find your friend and hang out with them and just stand there and paint the same panel for 3 hours. We can't do that. We got to work, okay? So if you come, we would appreciate it. Just be ready to get to work. Let's try not to conversate, because then we have to do another week. If we don't get done, then we got to create another weekend, or they have to do it during the week or whatever. So if you plan on coming to help, please be ready to put that paint glove on and get after it, okay? So we would appreciate that. You can talk. We're not going to, you know, put a muzzle on you. Feel free to talk, but be more willing to work than just talk. Amen? So we'd appreciate that. We thank you for all your help. We've done this every year. We've had a little bit. You know, we usually get it all done before the rodeo, but sometimes we need just one weekend to just get us ready, totally ready to do everything for that rodeo. So please see Heidi if you're willing to help. We also have a baptism after we're done. If you guys would like to go over there or go see Alvarado Roadshow, you can. Is there a mic up here? Yep, here's a mic. All right. Betsy, the floor is yours.
Good morning, everybody. It was an awesome, awesome service today. I want to thank Alvarado Roadshow, AJ and Cleve. Thank you guys for driving in that far. Just coming to bless us with y'all's presence and your wonderful, wonderful music. Also, I want to remind everybody that Howdy is not a paid preacher at this church. So, and the Bible says that every workman is worth his hire. So if anybody wants to bless Howdy, Howdy's bucket is here. Also, AJ and Cleve have numerous things, and if you would like to bless them, they have products, CDs, and they're awesome. I've got to go buy more because I keep giving them away. But they have a bucket back there to bless them as well. So, and that's what we should want to do as Christians, is bless everybody that comes in contact with us. We should want to be a blessing to everyone we come across, and particularly the people that feed us and that give their hearts and souls to us in infinite ways. So bless Howdy here, bless Cleve and AJ back there, and I guess, do you want me to pray us out? Okay, if y'all want to stand up, we'll be dismissed. Father God, I wish to pray blessings over the entirety of this congregation, traveling mercies on those who are traveling a distance, and healing for all of those who are in need of healing, physically, emotionally, mentally. Families that are being destroyed, I rebuke Satan from the family unit. And in Jesus' name, I call peace and prosperity down on everyone here and everyone that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.